Hello, everybody, and welcome to Turn the Page, Season 4, Book 17 of Twist-a-Plot, The Ghost Riders of Goldspur. Yeehaw. How are you doing, yeehaw, partner? Aw, no. Oh, shoot.
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, as good as the old noon is. Hi. So pretty.
I'm doing as good as the old prospector is old.
Oh, man, that's old. He's the oldest man I know.
I'm doing 54 good.
Well, man, I've never been doing 50. Oh, God, I got to get out of the accent or I'll be in it all book. I've never been 54 good, though.
I realized that immediately myself, and I was like, Swerve, that's going to be a character later. I don't need to wear it out now.
Well, the issue is whenever I go into that accent, it's not just that I, like, because whenever I play a video game on my YouTube channel with, like, in the West, I always move to talking just a little bit, but sometimes it's imperceptible, but the thing is, it doesn't just go away when the video's done either. It's not just that I'm talking it the whole, like, I'll go out for dinner, and I'll be like, oh, shoot, I still got a little bit of that rootin' tootin' in me, you know?
Oh, shoot, I want to order molasses and mesquite.
Oh, shucks. I want to order a can of beans. Oh, man. Well, but yeah, it's Ghost Riders of Goldspur. I like this cover a lot. Because this
cover has so much going on.
It boy does it ever. It does have the most going on. But this kid, the way he's got his little neckerchief and he's got his hand right over the old holster of his gun there, it's so good. But he does just look like he just looks like he was plucked out of math class. Like he was kicked out of math class because he was talking to his neighbor.
Uh-huh.
And this is, oh, I'm going to show you, Miss McCarthy, you know?
Wait. So he's been kicked out of the math class, by the teacher, Miss McCarthy, who he is now threatening to shoot?
He's a bad kid. Hey, this, you know?
She should have kicked him out earlier. He came in armed.
He has two guns. He's got one hand hovering over the one on his right hip, and the left hand is not far from being hovering over his second gun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we also need to talk about in the background, there is the old prospector who has found gold. There is an old donkey, got a good old pack mule back there. There is powder. There is lit powder kegs. There's just a rack of rifles just there in, like, what looks like in the desert, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Directly in front of what appears to be an escarpment, a rock, a rocky outcrop, such as a desert may have. And behind it,
of course,
the typical facade for a Western film, right? So we've got, you know, the saloon on one side, and then we've got the barber, who is also the doctor, who is also the gravekeeper, over on another side. Someone making headstones on the left side. A lot of this town is about death. And directly in front of them, down the street, is riding a gang of cowboy.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's, in short, this cover has a lot happening.
It's one of the pastiche style covers of, like, all of these are things you could possibly theoretically encounter, and we're putting them all together on the same the cover.
This has everything Western that you just could possibly have.
I also have to say, that is the most effective panning for gold I've ever seen.
Yeah.
My man has nothing but gold in his pan.
Yeah, he went on to create Apple.
Oh!
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah, tell me why.
It looks like he's going panning for gold in Scrooge McDuck's vault.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but hey, I'm very ready for this. And oh my, am I though? I kind of want to just look at this kid. He's filling me with so much joy. I love this cover just because the kid.
he does have an insane swagger about him. You mentioned the powder kegs and the fact that they're on fire. The powder kegs themselves are sitting just outside of the fire, so there's an explosion about to happen.
Yeah.
But the fire is directly behind the kid as well. Yeah. It looks like he is like an action movie hero boy. Like, he's about to leap in slow motion at the camera as the explosion occurs behind him.
Yeah, there's gonna be some, like, Max Payne-style slow-mo as he jumps and dives belly first onto the ground. Yeah. All right. Well, why don't you warn us?
Don't read this book from beginning to end.
You are about to take a journey into the Old West. A journey like nothing else you've ever experienced. But only if you follow the directions at the bottom of each page. Think carefully about your decisions. The wrong choice can put you in the middle of a shootout or at the end of a hangman's noose. The right choice could make you famous. Not rich this time, just famous. What happens depends on you. If you get into trouble, turn back and choose a different way out. If you're having a good time, keep going. The Old West was a dangerous place. It calls for clear thinking, quick decisions, and the willingness to be bold. If you make the right moves, you can enjoy many adventures of glory and still make your way safely back to the present. If you make the wrong moves, you may become a ghost rider yourself, galloping through these pages forever. Okay, partner, it's time to saddle up.
I want to mention something also. We have not commented on this in any of the books, but they've said it every time. If you get into trouble, turn back and choose a different way out. If you're having a good time, keep going. Is that supposed to imply, like, if you get on a page and you're like, I don't know if this is going to end well, you should turn back before you see the end? Like, what is, if you get into trouble, turn back and choose... Is it just saying if you hit an end, go back? I guess.
I have to imagine so. But also, what if I enjoy getting to that end?
Yeah.
What if I'm having a good time and I get to that end? Now I have to keep going? But it says the end!
I know. I see why they dropped it when they pivoted to... Why R.L. Stine dropped that but kept the beware part when moving to give yourself goosebumps. Because, I don't know, it feels a little clumsy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we might be benefiting from the knowledge of, you know, like, it's been 40 years since Choose Your Own Adventures were, you know, not necessarily just 40 years, but 40 years since this slate of Choose Your Own Adventures. We are familiar with the format. We take it for granted. I can't imagine a person at some point in time picking up a book like this and going, what the hell do I do? And that person would have been six, but also, to be fair, it's Scholastic pitched. So
please say H-E double hockey sticks. Jimmy, please. Come on. Don't say, H-E double hockey sticks do I do? Much better, Jimmy. All right. Now turn to page 2.
100 years ago on this very day,
the tourist guide announces dramatically,
the legend of Goldspur was born. One whole century.
You gasp loudly in amazement.
On this exact day.
Your mother, father, and everybody else in the crowd turn to look at you. Embarrassed, you take a step backwards and pretend to glance at the storefronts of this recreated Western ghost town. The guide quickly retrieves everyone's attention, including yours, by saying,
it was noon and the church bell was ringing when the three Harley brothers were first seen riding down the middle of Main Street. They finally rolled out onto the sunset and the bank vault was empty and most of the town were burning. Some say that the light from that blaze is as bright as the day was as bright as the day, and the outlaws could be seen riding like three ghosts into the flickering shadows of the desert night. And then the legend began. According to legend, the three Harley brothers are destined to ride together in darkness until they return Goldspur to face justice.
On to page 4. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Suddenly, the bell in the church steeple begins to peal. At the very hour, the Harley brothers rode into Goldspur. A strong gust of wind sweeps down Main Street, kicking up a blinding dust storm. You cover your eyes and you cough, but you can still hear the ringing of the bell. 10, 11, 12. When you open your eyes, your parents, the guide, the rest of the tourists are gone, disappeared. In their place, you're astonished to see farmers loading supplies into wagons, fancy ladies shopping in stores. Well, hey, fancy ladies. And cowboys lounging in front of the saloon. Your surprise turns to fear when you see something else. Three mean-looking desperados riding right down the middle of Main Street. Seems impossible, but somehow you're back in the Goldspur of 100 years ago. and you're the only one who knows what the Harley brothers are going to do. The question is, what are you going to do? If you decide to run down the street shouting a warning like Paul Revere, turn to page 16. If you decide to rush to the sheriff's office behind you and give your warning to the local lawman, turn to page 31. If you have no idea what to do and wish that someone would just give you some directions, turn to page 23. Can I have that option in my day-to-day?
I was going to make a pitch for going to 23 regardless, just because I don't really have any idea what to do, and I do wish someone would give me some direction.
It is true.
I will also quickly note at this point, they haven't said, necessarily, the Harley brothers, you know, shot up the bank. They did just say that they robbed the bank and rode off into the sunset.
It's true.
Not my money.
Yeah, not my money. Also, like, I don't know. They didn't say that.
What if they have six sisters? What if they have Taya back home and they need to, not Taya, Serenity back home and they need to buy expensive drug for therapy?
Yeah. What if the bank is evil? What if their horses are
sad? We don't
know
if the bank stole their money first.
Exactly. Yeah.
They could have just been stealing it back.
That's probably what it was. All right. We are great detectives. Let's find out what someone else thinks we should do on page 23. I do think that sounds funny. I want to know. You rub your eyes.
If we get there and it just says, go back and choose for yourself, I'm going to lose my
mind. Grow up. It just says, grow up.
You'll never become an adult if you can't make your own decisions.
Oh, but I am an adult and I don't. Anyways, you rub your eyes, but before you can open them, you feel a hand clamp down on your shoulder, practically jumping out of the cowboy boots you bought at the mall last weekend. You whirl around to face a burly cowboy carrying a big barreled rifle.
Here's 2 bits,
he says, tossing you a piece of silver.
Get over to the stagecoach and tell the driver I'll be there in a couple of minutes.
Who are you?
You manage to stutter.
Delamont's Darby. I'm riding a shotgun today, filling in for Texas Jack.
Man, nicknames were so cool and simple.
It's so frustrating that all of the names in the Bible and all of the states have already been merged. Mm-hmm. I don't have the ability to just go, I'm Montana Joe, without being like the fourth.
Yeah, it's true. Ugh. In a trembling voice, you say,
Mr. Darby? Would you tell me something?
I got all day, kid.
He snarls.
What'd you want?
If you decide to ask him whether it's the 19th or 20th century, turn to page 8. Oh my. If you decide that the safe thing to do is just to ask him where to find the stagecoach, turn to page 11. We know what century it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Surely. But what are we hoping is like, oh, actually, this is Westworld. Perfect.
You just activated my phrase. I can tell you this is Westworld now.
Welcome to Westworld.
You hear that playing? You hear that Rolling Stones tune on the piano?
I'm not going to say we shouldn't ask, but I am saying, like, let's be honest. We know the answer.
I don't think we should. So yeah. Because, like, there's no plausible deniability. There's no saving face in this. If you ask someone, is it the 19th or 20th century, you can't just play that off afterwards. Like, oh, I forgot. Actually, it changed so recently and I'm still writing my checks with the 19th century. Like, you can't do that.
Oh, shoot. Should I not be writing 21st century on my checks? That's what I took from that.
If you don't want them to get cashed, that's a great way to go about it.
I was wondering why none of my bills have ever been paid. Interesting. Okay. Huh. Sorry,
the lights are still on. I say keep going down that mountain.
Sorry,
that's
actually,
working.
Let me just light my candle again real quick. Okay, I'm good to go. Yeah, let's go to page 11. I mean, let's just ask where the stagecoach is. I think that we can assume what the other thing would be.
Exactly. I'm ready for some crimes.
I was just wondering, could you direct me to the stagecoach? I don't even seem to know where it is.
Noontown, huh?
Very.
All right. It's in front of the hotel around the corner.
He explains. So, hold on. Diving back to something real quick. As far as, like, state name, biblical name, nickname goes, people probably didn't go very far. So did you just have entire towns of Texas Jim, Texas John, Texas Greg?
I guarantee so. And the fact that one Texas John would have gone three towns over and introduced himself as Texas John, they would have gone, we already have one of them here. You're going to have to be someone else.
Yeah, we can't help you here, Texas John. You're going to need to go find a new town. This town ain't big enough for two Texas Johns. Why don't you go on down to Dead Gulch?
Change your name or where you're from, buddy.
Go on down to Dead Gulch. That town's big enough for two Texas Johns. Okay. Where was I as I interrupted myself? I was right in the hotel around the corner, he explains, pointing up the street.
Make a left turn where those three fellas are hitching up their horses.
Oh no, those three fellas are the Harley brothers, and they're leaving their horses directly in front of the First National Bank of Goldspur. Before you can say another word, Mr. Darby's gone. If you're lucky and get to the stagecoach in time, you could get out of Goldspur alive. If you ain't lucky, the Harley brothers will come out of that bank with their pistols blazing, and you'll be riding their gun sights. If you feel lucky, page 20. If you do not feel lucky, page 5.
Now, look, I'm not an aficionado of robbing banks, right? I've barely robbed, like, a dozen, right? Like, I haven't got much experience in the field. But what I do think is very important when you're robbing a bank is to rob the bank and to steal the money, right? And then you leave, and you go home.
Yeah.
It's not important, however, to rob the bank, steal the money, leave, find a child and shoot it. Right?
That
like that's
true.
That seems that's needlessly punitive. That at that point, I don't call you a bank robber. I call you a child murderer. That's a different thing.
That is an unnecessary bonus crime.
You rob 100 banks, they don't call you a bank robber. You murder one child.
You rob 100 banks, they don't call you a bank robber?
Yeah, no, because I'm good at it. I'm wearing a mask. No one knows it's me. They think it's Texas John.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Rito, quick question.
Yeah, in general, are you going to ask me if I feel lucky?
I was going to ask you if you want hub side up or hub side down, and then I was going to flip the lid of my water bottle.
Okay, up.
You feel lucky.
Okay.
Apparently. Yeah.
Do you?
Can't argue with fate.
Do you feel lucky in usually?
No.
Yeah.
To the degree... So, I will very quickly pass this apart of, no, I don't typically feel lucky. I made a D&D character entirely based around how confident would someone be if they were so lucky that everything always worked out for them? And then, a couple of people started to note that a lot of things in my life actually have been really lucky in a very long series of things. So now I do feel like I accidentally manifested that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I can't tell you how many times over the course of the last 6 months I've walked to a bus stop or a train station and it has just arrived. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter if they're usually 3 hours apart. It will just be there waiting for me every time. I don't know how it's happened.
There is another explanation. You might be in the Truman Show.
Yeah, I'm Truman Showing.
You're Truman Showing. Good afternoon, good evening,
Truman
good nighting.
Showed.
Yeah. All right, well, hey.
Wait, in case I don't catch you.
It's a good movie. I like that. I like that movie. Page 20. You're feeling lucky and decide to take your chances. You run as fast as you can up the street, hoping to be well past the bank before the gunfire starts. No such luck. Just as you near their horses, the Harley brothers back out of the bank, guns blazing, shooting wildly up and down the street. Okay. They're looking everywhere but at their horses. That means that there's still one way left to escape. You unhitch one of the horses, leap onto its back, and start galloping out of town while bullets whistle over your head. You've gotten away, but to where? You ride, and by the time it grows dark, you're hopelessly lost. Now you're the ghost rider. Okay. Try your luck again some other time if you ever get back to the present, the end.
What?
What?
Okay, so hang
lost.
On. So the reason that these brothers became the Ghost Riders is not because they robbed a bank and did an injustice and killed some people here. No. It's because they rode off into the sunset. That's what did it.
They just got lost.
Ah.
If I what? Like sometimes when I was a kid and I was like at the local convenience store and I started wandering around the aisles, you know, just I was like, oh shoot, I walked too far. I was told to stay by the video games, but I walked over to the books.
I'm a Ghost Rider.
And then I walked over to the clothes, and I became a Ghost Rider, just like that.
Yep,
it's so easy to become a Ghost Rider these days.
People don't talk about this enough.
It's true.
Sometimes you'll just be hanging out. You'll just be doing something normal. Maybe you're playing Mario 2 on an old emulator, right? And you're having a fun time. You've gotten to the end screen and you found out it's all a dream.
Oh.
And then suddenly your skull bursts into flame and you're on a cool motorbike.
People
don't talk about how you can spontaneously ghost ride.
It's true. It's wild that nobody mentions Wart ever as a villain, like, anymore. He was in Super Mario 2. He's a pretty cool looking guy. And then they just never use him again? He's a big frog king. He's pretty cool.
What? This ridiculous Wart erasure. Just because he's a dream figment of Mario's imagination doesn't mean he's not real to me.
I know. They really... I stand by it. That's the biggest thing that Mario 2 messed up in the It's All a Dream. I liked Wart. I thought it cool looking. That's all I have to say.
Mario sequel where we go back to the dreams.
I want Wart in Mario Kart, and the canon doesn't allow it. You cannot drive a motorized cart if you are a figment. It just cannot be. It just cannot be.
Deeply unfortunate.
Anyways. But Birdo's here.
What
the hell?
Abstract
Anyways.
Character. Yeah, exactly.
What's going on? Anyways, okay. Page 5. We don't feel lucky.
Yeah, if you feel lucky in the situation,
sorry.
You go down.
Never feel lucky. Never appreciate what you have. Always say, yeah, this is great and all, but, like, it sucks. Anyways, you are...
Always look over every fence and go, that grass? A little bit more lush.
Have you noticed how green their grass is? That's crazy.
But when I stand on their side of the fence, ours looks greener?
Yeah, what's going on? You know what? It's probably the fact that I'm wearing a green headlamp.
Yep, that'll do it.
Anyways, you are not feeling lucky enough to get past the Harleys in one piece. Still, you gotta get to the stagecoach. You see a boy about your age and call him over.
Listen, here's 2 bits.
You tell him, acting just like Mr. Darby.
Get over to the stagecoach driver and tell him to pick me up as fast as he can.
What? And get caught in the line of fire when the Harley brothers start shooting their way at the bank?
The boy walks up to another boy. Here, take these 2 bits.
Get over to the stagecoach driver and tell him to pick us up as soon as he can.
Shooting their way out of the bank, cries the boy. Oh.
Are you crazy?
Go on to page 6.
You mean you know about that?
You exclaim in disbelief.
Well, sure.
He replies matter-of-factly.
Why shouldn't I? We've been reliving this exact day for the last 100 years.
What? You're stunned.
If everyone knows what's...
I'm gonna drop the voice. If everyone knows what's about to happen, why don't they even do something about it? They can't,
says the boy with a shrug.
That's the way it is with legends. As long as people keep telling our story, we're doomed to keep acting it out.
Then he leans up close to you and whispers.
You'll be a part of the story too, if you stay here much longer.
That clinches it. You've got to get out of Goldspur, but how? Did this inspire that one arc in Adventure Zone? Just asking. Anyways. If you think ringing the bell in the church steeple 12 times, where did this idea come from?
Yeah, exactly!
If you think that ringing the bell in the church steeple 12 times might reverse time and get you back to the present, turn to page 38. I mean, like, I didn't, but now okay?
That is a solution that I come up with 4 hours after being stuck on the same puzzle in a puzzle game. I'm like, what?
I'm like, oh my god.
Maybe it's the church steeple 12 times?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Like, that's how we got here. That's how we go get out. But it's like, oh man. I wouldn't have thought of it. It makes sense. If you decide to jump on the back of a farmer's wagon that's headed out of town, turn to page 42. Well, not anymore. But now it's just setting up for failure. But I feel like the ringing the bell, it just seems like such a... It seems obvious now.
I want to ring the bell because I desperately want on the other side for the first sentence just to be, why did you think that would work?
Obviously not. They do always ring the bell. Like, the bell always gets rung. It's not like the bell's not being rung.
Yeah. We're going to go out there and we're going to see another version of ourselves about to ring the bell. It's going to get real awkward.
Let's do it. Page 38. You scramble up the spiral stairway to the bell tower of the church and throw all of your weight onto the heavy rope that rings the bell. You ring it a dozen times, but nothing happens. Suddenly, you hear footsteps down below. Somebody's climbing the stairs to the bell tower. Is it one of the Harley brothers? All the Harley brothers? As the footsteps get closer, you realize there's no escape. You're trapped. Wait. You're trapped in the steeple with your blood pounding through your veins. I don't know why that sentence feels... It makes sense. I've just never heard blood pounding.
Yeah.
I don't know why it feels unsettling.
It feels like hearts pound, blood flows.
Yeah.
Rushes, maybe.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just like, huh, I've never heard that. You watch as the bell tower slowly creaks open. It's the tour guide.
Am I glad to see you?
You exclaim, letting out a breath that you've been holding for the last 2 minutes. The tour guide smiles and shakes his head.
It's a weird thing, but whenever someone gets lost from one of my groups, I usually find them here at the bell tower. I wonder why.
The end. So it is just the right choice.
Yep, evidently. That's what works. So, but we're not famous yet, is the thing. Right?
I know.
We know we could become famous in this book.
I like the, it's like if we got a math test and it was a multiple choice and it had two options. It is like, what do you think is the answer to this extremely lengthy equation? And then it gives you a number, or the second option is leave town for real. It's like, well, I mean, I guess I'll try the one that's an answer, that's a number. It's mm-hmm. like... I don't know.
I might as well try the number 74 before I skip town and change my name.
let's give a shot to old 42.
Old 42, where we hop on the back of a farmer's wagon rolling out of town.
The farmer's wagon rolls lazily by on its way out of town. You make it onto the wagon without the driver seeing you, and so far so good. To play it safe, you cover yourself with a blanket until you're sure you're out of Gold Spur. Lying in the darkness of the wagon bed, you can't see a thing. The clip-clop of the horse's hooves and the rattle of the rickety wagon is all that you can hear. After a few minutes, you think that you must surely be out of all danger. You could not be more wrong! In the next instant, the wagon comes to a halt and the blanket that's hiding you is pulled away roughly. You're shot. You're dead now. You could not be more wrong! What? Wait. Okay. More confused. Standing in front of you is a knight in shining armor, and he's holding a sharp blade of a sword against your neck. Behind him stands a tall man.
King Arthur,
says the knight.
I've captured a strangely dressed wizard.
Uh-oh. You've traveled from the legend of Goldspur to the legend of King Arthur for some reason. If you
that's where the wagon was going.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Okay, uh-huh.
Hey, at least I don't have to do cowboy voices anymore.
Aw, shucks. Aw, shoot.
I can do knights.
Verily, huh?
Well met.
Verily, huh? Mm, something? Is this something? It's nothing? Okay, move on. If you think you'll get the help of the king by explaining that you're a time traveler, when he thinks you're a wizard, turn to page 65. If you think you got a better chance of getting out of this by pretending to be a wizard, turn to page 52.
You know what, Rito? We have a whole season worth of experience. We know that King Arthur consorts with wizards.
It's true. So, 52.
He's going to put us in his round table.
Yeah, they wouldn't undermine an entire season of the podcast. They respect the lore of a completely different set of books, right?
They must.
All books have the same lore, right? Every book is connected, and if you write something that disrespects the canon of a different book, you are sent to jail for doing illegal writing.
Like, this is like a holistic syncretism. All texts exist within the exact same canon universe. The automata, near automata art book that I have on my coffee table is actually the same universe as the Bibble.
It's true.
Sorry, I haven't had to say that out loud.
Yeah. And that's actually a prequel to the Berenstain Bears, so, like...
Oh!
Yep.
Not in my universe.
Oh, no. Oh, no! 52. Hiding your fear, you boldly declare...
You bet I'm a wizard! And if I were you, I'd put down that sword. You wouldn't like it if I turned you into a can of tuna!
What is a can of tuna?
Asks the knight, perplexed.
Believe me, you wouldn't like it.
You try to explain.
It's terrible, even with mayonnaise.
The famed knight doesn't have the slightest idea what you're talking about, but he lowers his sword anyways.
Methinks this strange creature is a demon from another world.
Can we bring back methinks? Please?
Methinks we should.
Methinks we should bring back methinks. exclaims the king.
Merlin!
He cries.
Merlin!
The king's sorcerer suddenly appears out of a puff of smoke. You hadn't counted on a real wizard showing up. That changes things by a lot.
Hey, look.
You begin?
I didn't mean...
Before you can explain yourself, Merlin zaps you with one of his magic spells, turning you into a round table. The round table! You are famous! Oh my god! You wouldn't mind serving under King Arthur, but this is not exactly what you had in mind. The end.
Is this
the famous round?
We're famous. We are the famous round table.
Raps, we're canonically the round table. That changes Grail Quest a bit, knowing that we were the round table the whole time.
Oh, we didn't even get a round where we get to free us as being the round table.
Yeah. Oh my god. All right, the end. What a...
I had to expect that they were going to end the knights in King Arthur's realm tangent quite quickly.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens on page 65.
Yeah, exactly. We have to explain that we're a time traveler instead to see how you'll respond.
Excuse me, Your Highness?
You say, waving your right hand at the monarch.
Hark, it speaks!
Cries Sir Lancelot.
Perhaps I should behead it now before it casts a spell on us.
If I could just explain.
You say nervously.
I'm really from the future. You see, these shoes are cowboy boots. These leggings are blue jeans. I'm just a regular kid who...
Cowboy boots?
King Arthur exclaims with horror.
The foul creature is wearing shoes made from cows and boys. Slay this evil being at once, Sir Lancelot.
The sharp edge of the knight's sword swoops down towards your neck. Hurry to page 71. We're not dead here.
Not yet.
Shoes of cows and boys. 71. You cringe. Ugh. Expecting the cold blade to hit you at any second. When a deep voice cries out behind you.
Wait!
Yeah, wait.
You add weakly. Sir Lancelot's blade stops just inches from your neck.
You have some interest in this creature, Merlin?
Asks the king. A kind-looking man in a black robe walks up to you.
Yes, Your Highness, I do. I asked that you give me this young wizard's life.
Thank heaven, King Arthur agrees. Later, when the two of you were alone, you ask Merlin why he saved your life.
Because my magic tells me that you don't belong here.
Boy, is that the truth.
You're from the future, aren't you?
Yes,
you admit. And then, in a pleading voice, you ask...
Can your magic send me home?
Go to page 72. Huh. So the route was explain that we're from the future, but it is just Merlin knowing we're from the future. Okay.
Yeah, in the other route, he knows we're from the future, and he's like, adjustable side table baller.
Yeah. Oh, man. 72. Merlin frowns.
I don't know.
He says, tugging thoughtfully on his long white beard.
You must have fallen through a crack in time. It happens rarely, but it has been known to occur.
This doesn't sound too hopeful to you, but Merlin continues.
I've been experimenting with a time travel potion. This is the perfect opportunity to test it out. You understand, of course, that your chances of making it back to your exact time are... slim. Still,
he says, handing you a little blue bottle.
You might just make it, but let me warn you, the power of this concoction will be affected by the color of your eyes. It works best with people whose eyes are brown. Ah, but you never know. Drink it, my young friend, and then hope for the best.
You have not got anything to lose. Hesitantly. Wait. You have not got anything to lose. Hesitantly, you drink the potion anyways. That's very funny to me. I don't know why.
What if it gives me something and then I lose it?
I know. It's... You're not afraid at all. Like a little wee baby, you drink the potion. Coward style.
Yeah.
If your eyes are...
Lug. Sippy sippy out of the sippy cup.
That's, couldn't have said it better myself, so I didn't. If your eyes are any color except for brown, turn to page 18. If your eyes are brown, turn to page 80. I have a fear. What color of your...
Both of us having the same answer here?
Yeah.
Let me put that to rest. My eyes are colors other than brown. They're white on the outside, and they're black in the center.
Perfect.
I mean, alternatively, I will say that people don't typically agree on what my eye color is. Some people say it's hazel, some people say it's green, some people say it's brown. So,
I've never let anyone look me in the eyes.
The only people who've looked me into the eyes have not lived to report the color. So I assume they're brown. Anyway, whichever of these gets us forward, I'm going to say...
Let's start with brown.
Our eyes are brown.
It says, it quite literally says that it works better if your eyes are brown. So...
Oh, hell yeah.
And...
It'll send us further back, further forward in time.
Oh, maybe.
End of the future.
A light flashes inside your head, and suddenly you're back with your parents in the present, but you're not in Goldspur. Before you realize what's happening, you hear a tour guide say...
It was exactly 3 o'clock on this very day 114 years ago that the Great Chicago Fire devastated our fair city.
A church bell in the distance begins to chime the hour 1, 2, 3. You close your eyes. This can't be real, you tell yourself, but then you smell smoke.
Fire! Fire!
You scream.
Hey, calm down, kid.
Says a man in the crowd in front of you.
If my cigar's bothering you at all you gotta do is say so, eh?
You open your eyes and heave a sigh of relief. The end! Okay.
Not even slightly famous.
Not even a little
famous. We gotta go back.
We have to ask this man? We have to ask this man to stop smoking his cigar? Come on.
Yeah,
so famous they'd be embarrassed.
What a relic of the times.
Yeah. The times before were famous when people would just look at us and go, oh, I would not... get smoke on his suede vest. his suede tube top. I would never. Page 18. This is if we're giving in to the fact that our eyes are also with white and black. A mist swirls around you as if you're in the eye of a tornado. But it isn't the wind that's whirling and whipping past you. It's time. How do we know? History itself is racing before your eyes like a super speeded up film. In the blink of an eye, it suddenly stops. Your first thought is that you're cold, and no wonder, it's winter. You're standing all alone on a snowy riverbank in the middle of the night. While shivering and wondering where Merlin's potion brought you, you hear the sound of someone approaching. You duck into the bushes and listen.
General Washington, our situation is hopeless.
Convenient, says a voice.
I know. We're in desperate need of victory, but there's nothing we can do. This is a very sad Christmas Eve, General Arnold. I'm truly at my wit's end.
Perhaps you should surrender?
Suggests the man named General Arnold.
Do you really think that would be wise?
Asks Washington. Go to page 88.
None of this was on the cover!
You and I both know we could never defeat the king. Wouldn't it be better to run up the white flag? You can surrender right across the Delaware in Trenton.
Maybe you're right, Benedict.
Says General Washington with sad reluctance.
Maybe you're right. Without a big victory, our cause is doomed.
You've heard enough. You pop out of the bushes and exclaim,
General Washington, excuse me for eavesdropping, but
who are you?
Demands the future father of our country.
I'm an American.
You answer proudly. He smiles.
Well.
He smiles broadly.
Well then, my young patriot, what is it you wish to tell me?
General Washington is waiting. Hurry and turn to page 25.
Oh, hell yeah, we're the right-hand man.
Yeah, I love you from The Dollar. I loved your part in The Dollar.
Oh! Wait, are we sure we're not still in Cowboy Town and this is just Washington George?
Eh, who knows?
You can have a big victory, sir.
Took a minute.
You can have a big victory, sir.
You begin...
If you'll just get some boats, gather your troops, and row across the river, You'll catch the enemy completely off guard. The last thing they'll expect is a surprise Christmas Eve attack. It'll be the turning point of the war.
By thunder! Why didn't I think of that?
Washington says jubilantly as he reaches out and shakes your hand.
You're not going to listen to this child, George, are you?
Asks General Arnold.
I most certainly am, Benedict. It's a bold plan, and I'd be letting our new country down if I didn't try everything within my power. Why, to do less would be treason.
You can't resist softly, so only Benedict Arnold can hear you say.
You wouldn't want to be a traitor now, would you?
Enraged, Benedict Arnold draws a pistol from his belt. You hit a nerve, and now he's going to shoot you between the eyes. He's going You wouldn't want to be a traitor, would you? Oh, that makes me so mad I'm going to kill a child. What?
You wouldn't want to be a traitor, would you?
You know what?
Bang. Yes.
What you just said to me? I'm going to betray you for that. I'm going to betray you for that.
He's at home. Arnie. Oh, Benny Arnie. I think that this meatloaf has a little bit too much salt. What did you say to me? you struck a nerve.
Now I'm going to strike you.
He seems to have a problem. I think that this Benedict Arnold guy, I think he's a little sensitive. Anyways, if you think that you have a chance to run away, turn to page 36. If you think your only chance is to stand and fight, turn to page 41.
We got to stand and fight, otherwise he's going to go home and kill someone else.
That's probably true. All right, we are going to stand and fight the man who's pointing a gun between our eyes with our good looks. Actually, it's not a good hair day. With our
charming personality.
I've been feeling a bit down
most
recently.
People tend to avoid me after a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
With our luck. No, hang on. That didn't work out well for us previously. Hang on. I'd say with our chutzpah, but we're not particularly bold.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just see what happens. You figure
well, let's
out
fight
the,
him.
Let's fight him with our let's fight him with our guns. I see him on the cover. How about that? You figure out the best defense is a good offense. So instead of trying to run away, you attack. You dive at Benedict Arnold's legs just as he fires his pistol. The ball of lead screams right over your head, hitting nothing except for a few unlucky strands of hair. That was close. Now it's your turn. You try and knock the infamous traitor off his feet, except you've got one problem. Though his gun may be empty, his heavy metal gun barrel still makes a dandy weapon, and he clunks you over the head with it. It feels like an explosion inside your brain. What on earth? For a long moment, I feel like we just got Mortal Kombat X-ray attacked. You know?
Yep.
That's going to hit for some people. Like, anyways. For a long moment, you don't know where you are. You go completely blank, then feel yourself falling. Hurry. Turn to page 67. If we are in a different time zone again.
Rita.
Yeah.
Hold on to your exams until I collect them at the end of class,
announces your history teacher. You look around astonished. How'd you get back here? Before you can get your bearings, your teacher says,
your first essay question on the American Revolution is this. Describe the events that led to the surprise Christmas Eve attack on Trenton by General Washington.
You write furiously, remembering every detail of what you saw and experienced, but too bad your teacher will not believe you and give you an A. But what difference does it make? After all, you've made the grade as an American, by George. The end.
You know, I don't think... Just putting myself in the shoes of the history teacher, I don't think I would have collected all these essays and the one that started with, when I told George Washington to attack Trenton, that one goes in the bin and I call the parents in.
Yeah. Also, it probably would have been in the books. And then, you know, Benedict Arnold shot a child or tried to shoot a child. I think that would make it to the books or like.
Yeah.
So maybe. Maybe everyone else is like, my classmate told him to. So who knows? Anyways, so let's try 36.
Do we include the Merlin part? Do we include that we got there by way of Merlin?
Yeah. Of course. I need all the details. She asked for the full picture, didn't she? All right. Page 36, which is what? Not fighting? Just saying, what are you going
to
do?
Yes,
shoot me?
Trying to run away.
Before Benedict Arnold can pull the trigger, you dive into the cold waters of the Delaware River. His bullet slams into a piece of ice about a foot away. Again, it's not wrong, but also not the word I would use. It's strange.
The blood slams through your veins.
Yeah? Now that he's missed, you think you're safe, except you're not. You try and swim, but you can't. The freezing water has made you numb, and your saturated clothing is pulling you down into the dark depths. The water begins swirling around you, faster and faster, like a whirlpool. Everything is spinning. You can't tell the surface from the bottom. You're drowning. It's somewhere inside your brain. You hear a voice saying,
"Hold on. Hold on. Hold on."
Hold on to what? Hurry and turn to page 67. It's Moby Dick, the real guy, the real whale guy.
Hold on to your exams until I collect them at the end of class.
And that's your history teacher. You look around astonished. How'd you get back here? Before you can get your bearings, your teacher says,
"First essay question is this. Bloody, bloody, blah.
Right,
where did Merlin teleport you?
Merlin this, Merlin that. These guys try and shot me. These guys try to shoot me. Try to shoot me. You're an American, by George. The end." Okay.
Same page. So no matter what we do with Benedict Arnold, we end up on page 67.
Yep. Yep.
Is that the exhaust of that path?
I'm trying to find out what's page 65. Because that's the one I don't remember.
You'll get the help of the king by explaining you're a time traveler, which I believe we did.
More or less exhaustive, unless we go all the way back to page 8. Oh, okay. Let's go to page 8. Let's teleport back to page 8 for the exhaustive section of this book. This is all the way back. It'll be quick. Don't you worry.
Oh, yes. So this is asking Texas Jack what century we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. This is asking if we are in the 19th or the 20th century to Texas Jack. We'll just read this one real quick.
Look, this might sound kind of stupid.
You admit correctly.
What century is this? The 19th or the 20th?
Cut! Wait, what? Yells a voice from across the street. Startled, you look over and see a camera crew in the doorway of the Gold Spur Saloon. Now you're really confused. The man named Darby smiles at you and explains,
"When the church bell rang, we started a dust storm and our wind machines and then herded everyone, except you, of course, off the street. You see, we're filming a TV special on Legends. I'm playing a cowboy. On, of course, how they affect the mind. And you seem perfect for the show. Guess I look pretty dumb, huh? Well, think of it this way. Wouldn't you rather be safe on film than trapped in the middle of a 100-year-old gun battle?"
He's got a point. You should be able to enjoy your fleeting stardom on the tube, because the next time you visit Gold Spur, you might come to a very different end. This could have been a speedrun famous ending?
Mm-hmm. It's 15 minutes of fame, what? But it's fame nonetheless.
But also, when the church bell rang, we started a dust storm with our wind machines and then herded everyone, except for you, off the street. But why? Because we're perfect for the show.
Truman showed us?
Why would they not say you are... I don't get it. End. This one doesn't even... Yeah. All right. Okay.
It doesn't even say the end. Just end.
Yeah. Which makes sense. It's when they do that. I was going to say that, too. The goal's where you come to a very different the end. You know. All right. I mean, hey, that was an exhaustive branch through that entire section of of that there. There.
If you told me looking at this cover that we were going to see Washington or Merlin, I would have slapped you silly. I would have been like, "Get out of your hysteria, Rito. You come back."
I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You're reacting a little too strongly to things recently.
I'm a little too slap happy. I'll slap you for saying that.
I just wanted to say, it feels like you're looking for any excuse to slap me recently. I'm just saying.
How dare you? I'll slap you.
Oh, man. Not again. Oh, gee willikers. And then I wake up and then I write a paper about how I was slapped. Christmas.
You're almost slapped by Benedict Arnold.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, Why? That's that. What a wild one.
The Ghost Riders of Goldspur.
It's just bizarre to me that on that route, the one that felt the most like canon was the one that kind of just was like, you're here for a little bit, and then you just immediately have the idea for what the perfect thing is that gets you out. So, like, we didn't really interface with the Wild West story very long.
Yeah.
Everything else was just actually King Arthur now. Actually George Washington now.
This is like if in Back to the Future, Marty was like, I don't need to meet Doc. I got this.
Yeah.
All on me. 1.21 gigawatts? That sounds about right, based on my high school level of physics knowledge.
Oh, I loved the book, The Ghost Riders of Goldspur, a little bit about that. I mean, maybe the other paths probably had a little bit more to do with it, but I liked ours. Oh my god, wait, quick, go to page, what would be 35?
75. Oh, that's not good!
It's just, there's a, what I can only assume is us, a kid, trapped inside a root beer barrel, crashing through stuff. I don't know, it just looked like a fun little... Anyways, so there was a route where we stowed away inside of a root beer barrel and crashed through something down a river. So that sounds fun,
crashed
too.
Crashed through? Oh, I thought this was, like, an explosion. Flames about to explode this root beer barrel. I thought we were going to, like, take off, like, Team Rocket.
Yeah, root beer is flammable. Maybe. Probably.
I imagine so. It's got sugar and alcohol in.
Yeah, probably. It's probably on fire all the time. I don't drink it. I don't touch the stuff. I burnt my throat last time. Actually, I drank fire. Hold on.
Oh, but that just proves how flammable it is.
That's so true. All right. Any other thoughts on Ghost Riders of Goldspur, the book that was a little bit about the Ghost Riders of Goldspur?
Only in that I know it's late in the game to get this realization, but it feels like a lot of the time when there are two main branches for something that has like a very, very strong... theme, genre, trope, that one of them is like, we're going directly into this. Like, I imagine the other one is do the robbery and the cowboy and the guns and the horses.
And
then the other line is always like, you thought it was going to be cowboy, guns, and horses? It's a movie set. It's the future. You're Merlin. Everyone is a slime.
Tongs.
Tongs?
Rubber band farm.
Got the rubber band farm.
Yeah, that was a good one. But yeah, I had fun anyways. I like the old setting. As little as we spent in it, I did done like it. And also, it was nice to see canonically the same Merlin again.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to remember like in jokes for Merlin to drop into the moment, but I was too focused on just getting his voice right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, hey, you want to thank our wonderful producer for this episode?
I will indeed. that, of course, is Dead Horse. Dead Horse, hey. Executive producer of this episode. Much appreciated, Dead Horse, for executive producing this episode in particular, and also for joining the Turn to Page Patron.
Yeah.
Patreon, Turn to Page Cast, patreon.com/turntopagecast in particular. Thank you muchly, Dead Horse. And of course, to each and every person who is supporting over on there, it does make this possible and a thing we get to continue to do, such as last week where we had to source the books ourselves. And of course, for the art in between and things like that, much appreciated to each of you, but of course, especially to Dead Horse
for this episode. Huge thank you, Dead Horse. Thank you for joining over on the Patreon. Again, patreon.com/@turntopagecast. Genuine, big, wholehearted thank you.
Is it at on Patreon?
Oh no,
as well,
it's not. It's not.
Yeah, that's just the YouTube. Panel.
That's the YouTube. It's not. Patreon.com/turntopagecast. The ad is for something. I'll get to it in a minute. Keep that in your mind. Keep that fresh in your mind. Thank you, Dead Horse. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dead Horse, very, very much for the new support on Patreon. If you want to help out the channel, that is a great way to do so. Again, like last week, we had to get that book. It genuinely does make stuff like that possible. If you want to help the channel out in a free way, you can go over to youtube.com/@forreal. at Turn to Page Cast. Not at for real Turn to Page Cast. Uh-oh. Oh, no. I'm in deep. At youtube.com/@turntopagecast. If you want to subscribe, like, comment, all that stuff is a very useful, helpful, free thing you can do as well. As well as any kind of direct email if you want to send it to us. turntopagecast@gmail.com is a great way to contact us. But hey, that is that. That's going to do it here for today for Turn to Page. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Yeehaw.
Adios, partner.